95.9 WATD, the South Shore's Morning News. Rob and Beth, Christine at her newsroom, intern Jack from Curry is here, and you on the text line at 781-837-4900. It's time now for our Paws and Claws segment. We focus on the pet and animal world. We do it every week at this time, sponsored by the Clean Team. You know, even the best pets can't clean up their own mess. Call the Clean Team to take care of fur, furniture, paw tracks, tiles, and all sorts of catastrophes and doggy dilemmas. Visit thecleanteam.net, thecleanteam.net. Well, once a month, we check in with a great crew over at Cape Cod Veterinary Specialists in the Exotic Pets Department. Our good friend, Dr. Kira Berg, is with us this month. Dr. Kira Berg, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How have you been, doctor? I haven't talked to you in a while, I feel like. What's going on? You guys having a good summer?
Yes, it's been an amazing summer. I feel like the whole weekend rain has gone away, and I'm really taking advantage of that. I'm being super happy with the weather. How about you guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely enjoying the weather. We're big fans of summer, so this is right up our alleys.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's really nice outside, and it's good summer. And again, it's hot but low humidity. Maybe the reptiles will enjoy it, and we're going to get into that. I don't know. I thought I'd try a nice little segue there. But, yeah, we're going to talk about
That was a great segue.
Thank you very much, Dr. Berg. I appreciate that. All right. So how to design and set up a reptile enclosure. All right. So let's see. When it comes to reptiles, what do they need? What do they require?
So this definitely is a huge, huge topic. And I can't generalize what big groups really need. So it's always important to remember that a sulcata tortoise is going to be different from a red-eared slider, is going to be different from a chameleon, an iguana, a bearded dragon, a leopard gecko, snakes, right? So everything is going to be different, but at the very end of the day, the most important thing is to make sure that we have the appropriate temperature that animal needs, that we have dual digital thermometer hygrometer tools, and what they do is they measure temperature and humidity, that we have the animal at the humidity that they need, and that we're providing UVB light, especially for the animals and the species that need them. And I would argue that nearly every reptile that's kept in captivity as a pet needs some amount of UVB light.
Okay, so again, it's important that they have that. And that's where we talked about, I know in the past, about having a specific type of light that's necessary for this specific reptile, right? You can't just use any
exactly.
light.
Correct. Yeah. And we've talked about that before, so I don't want to go into too much detail, but exactly like what you were saying, that a UVB light provides ultraviolet light in the form of the B spectrum and the very specific nanometer length, which is important for their overall metabolism of calcium and vitamin D and how they grow. UVA is helpful, not really required. And there's some suggestion that LED lights are not necessarily favored because it's a different spectrum in terms of the nanometer length, so can actually potentially contribute disease, but that's a very up-and-coming concern, so trying to stick with your ultraviolet lights, and again, they have to be replaced every 6 months. It depends on the species in terms of the intensity, but right now what I can say is that for any reptile, which is most of them, that thrive in 80-degree weather or higher, get them outside if you can. So that's going to be the best thing for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What other types of things do they need in when we have an enclosure?
Yeah. So for enclosures in particular, I always say the largest that the family can do for that reptile is the best. Because if we think about it, even with outside cage time, we can't supply the lights and the heat and the temperature of that cage in the house. And so they're going to really benefit the most from being in their cage. And so the largest cage that anybody can you know, reasonably take care of and commit to taking care of is going to be the best thing for them. In terms of ventilation and the type of cage, typically most reptiles are going to benefit from the equivalent of a fish tank, but it's called a breeder tank. So it's longer than it is taller, mm-hmm. and that's going to work for most of the species. And then having a ventilated mesh top is going to be important for, again, for ventilation, as well as getting that light that they need.
Oh, that's so cool. So my friend has a bearded dragon, and she sends me pictures. Mm-hmm. She brings the bearded dragon to her pool, not to enjoy the chlorinated water, but the dragon is...
To be near outside.
Yeah, it looks like the dragon is like suntanning, soaking up the sun.
Exactly. So that's exactly what I was talking about with the UVB light, because it provides, the sun provides warmth and that very important UVB spectrum of lighting that they need. So that's awesome that your friend does that. That's perfect.
All right, so that's
it's good they're doing like their little basking or whatever.
Exactly.
Now, but you also talk about before that not only is it important to have the light and the sun, but they also need cool areas as well. Or so is it important if you're setting up an enclosure to make sure they have like a darker area, or how would you?
Yeah. So cool is kind of relative, because like for a bearded dragon, I'll actually recommend that it doesn't get quote unquote cooler than 70, which, you know, it's not really actually what we would consider cold, but for them it is.
Wow.
So that's why it's so important to have those thermometers for to measure, and or like I know some people will have thermometer guns, that's fine as well, and they'll like literally shoot a laser to like get the temperature. That's totally fine.
That's great. I was gonna say, if you know, this is, it's always tough if you're working, you know, in an office with a bearded dragon, they're going to be the ones that are always putting that thermostat up when you're trying to put the air conditioning down, and that bearded dragon over at the other desk is like
I know we need a bearded dragon in this place, because sometimes I'm like the AC is up way too high. So for the for making it 70 degrees, because obviously we do live in a cold, like a cold climate, and sometimes our houses can be drafty. Sometimes they can really flirt with like 65 when we really try to put the heat up as much as possible. So does that heat lamp allows for the temperature to rise? Because I know like my a lot of my friends have the heat lamps for their reptile type pets.
Exactly. So the heat lamps are, so there's a couple of different types of heat lamps. We have like the red light heat emitters, there are black light heat emitters, because that, and there are ceramic heat emitters, which do not emit light at all, they just do heat. And so one of the benefits of doing the ceramic heat emitter is that you can have that on 24/7 and it's not impacting that circadian rhythm or like the light dark cycle of that animal. Because the other thing too is that reptiles need to sleep just like us, so they should not have a light, an actual white light on 24/7. That's not fair for them.
What about the base of the enclosure? What kind of stuff is the best for reptiles?
So there's a lot of movement towards bioactive enclosures, which I think is totally fair. My big thing is I do recommend checking the reptile for parasites before, because if they do have parasites, you have to treat them, but you also have to clean the entire enclosure.
Yeah.
And so a bioactive can be a little bit of a financial commitment. So I always recommend deworming them first before doing a bioactive enclosure. It's not necessarily the right decision for every family, and I think that's totally okay. I think for me, I'm very neutral about bioactive. I'm not going to promote it, but I'm definitely not going to knock it either.
Okay.
The one thing I will kind of quote unquote knock is sand, and that's because a lot of the sand is advertised as non-impacting. So basically a lizard could eat it, like a bearded dragon or a leopard gecko could quote unquote eat the sand, but it's high calcium, so it's okay. It's not. I've had these animals impact or basically obstruct because of the sand. And we can get them out of it, but it's also life-threatening. So I definitely do not recommend sand, rocks that are small enough that the animal could eat them. So like for aquatic turtles, you know, nice big rocks on the bottom is a great feature, really important for the water quality. But the tiny little things they can eat, a big no-no for me.
No, that's good to know. Because
yeah.
I think, you know, probably a lot of us, if we don't do our research, would think, you know, just sand is good. Yep. And, you know, we're going to put some sand in there without really thinking about it.
Yeah, and I think also going into Petco, like, it's just such a fun store. I'm sorry, I don't mean to, you know, single out a retailer, but any sort of pet, like, supply retailer, those stores are always so fun. And then, you know, you don't know the difference between marketing and what the pet really needs.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think having that knowledge is great.
Yeah, and to be fair, sand does promote really natural behaviors. So, I think there technically is a benefit, but the risk in captivity is so high, I wouldn't recommend it. So,
all right, good stuff. All right, any final thoughts that you wanted to mention to people when it comes to designing and setting up a reptile enclosure, Doctor?
Yes, I think a lot of people underestimate how much enrichment reptiles need. You know, I think a lot of people look at them and think, oh, they're not as intelligent, or they're a lot more basic. And whether or not their cognitive capacity is equal to a rat or a bird, which I will say it's not, that does not mean that they don't need enrichment. So foraging, so help give them some toys, right? So tegus love using the doggy treat hide toys. Like, they love using that for their food. Adding in places for them to hide is really, really important because they're all prey species. You know, making sure that their life isn't stagnant is really important. So I think there's a lot of ways that we can do that to really promote the emotional and psychological welfare of reptiles in captivity.
All right. Thank you so much. Some important stuff to know about. And that's what we want to do when we check in with Dr. Kira Berg and other experts, to make sure that the animals... we know you love them, but we want to make sure that you treat them with absolutely what they need and require and make sure they have the best life possible. So, Dr. Kira Berg, always great to check in with you. Cape Cod Veterinary Specialist, and we know people can go online, CapeCodVetSpecialist.com, and find out more about Dr. Kira Berg and the great team there. Thank you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Beth.
And that's our Paws and Claws segment on WATD.